John Smoltz joins us. Hang tight there, Jerry Rello. Johnny Boomer and Carton, what's cooking, baby?
Well, what's cooking is a reversal of fortunes for what a team has normally done to other teams, and that's the Yankees.
Why? Let's get into it. Now, Boomer and I were at the game. I'm sure you saw me behind home plate with my mask on and doing all my gyrations there. What did you say, because I did not have the benefit of hearing you, about the decision by Joe Girardi to walk Murphy and allow Burnett, who you know is a gas can, to pitch to Molina? Did you favor that at the time or not?
Well, I favored the walk. I thought the reason that they had Java, you know, warming up was you could possibly bring in Java to face Benji Molina.
All right.
What's incredible about the postseason is how you're always an inch. Well, we saw an inch away from a home run, an inch away from something. But you're always a second away from a great decision, a great execution. And certainly players can make their managers look great, or they can make them look not so great. And really, the bottom line was a location pitch that has been issues with AJ caught up with them, because otherwise we'd be talking about a gutsy decision that potentially could have worked out, because you were one inning away from getting to Mariano Rivera for a two-inning save.
All right, just for the sake of history, in baseball circles, isn't it a pretty well-accepted fact, especially for you as a pitcher, that you don't walk the go-ahead run and put him on base?
Well, later in the game, I think, you know, in that situation, you can understand it. I mean, if that's in the seventh or eighth inning, yeah, I understand the point you're making. But I think in this situation, historically, they could have their way with a Benji Molina, where history had shown where, you know, Murphy had some success against AJ Burnett. You know, the craziness of this game, which is so magnified in the postseason, is people forget about the previous inning, about the Yankees not scoring runs, and that gets forgotten because your guy didn't execute the next inning. To me, that was the game for the Yankees. Now, it won't be talked about as much because the game becomes the three-run homer.
Yeah, there's no question, as we talked to John Smoltz, that it's frustrating, I think, for Yankees fans, Johnny, to watch this team with the salary that they have and just the ineptness of which their hitters are right now, especially with men in scoring position. And I can't believe that I'm sitting here saying that the Yankees look like they're pressing in the batter's box.
Well, there's no doubt that the Rangers don't have the experience in the bullpen. They've given the Yankees every chance to win games every game. I mean, you look at Game 1, and certainly they imploded, and some could say that the Rangers learned greater from their mistakes than the Yankees' inability to score, which they always seem to do when runners in scoring position. And they've had runners on, although in the first couple games late with two outs, but first and second, nobody out in a situation where you know the Rangers are in the opportunity to blow this game open, it just didn't happen.
You're talking about the Yankee fifth there.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask you a question about the bottom of the fifth as we're talking to John Smoltz. And, you know, it's where Derek Jeter doubles to right, and then Granderson gets up there, and it's just safe that everybody's assuming that he's going to bunt, and he does bunt or tries to bunt. And it doesn't seem like Hunter's pitching or the Rangers are pitching to him like they're going to give him something to bunt. I'm just wondering – and I was trying to sit there explain this to Craig. Do they care if Granderson gets on to first base there? Like, they know that the base is open. They'd much rather have first and second no out as opposed to a man standing on third and one out.
No, what you got to do, and it's the nervousness of a young pitcher. I mean, you saw it. You've got to take the outs. I mean, in that situation, my biggest thing that people don't understand is limit the game to one run at a time. And now, the Rangers ended up doing that. If you got a runner on third with one out, that is way better than a first and second nobody out, because now you're looking at a huge inning that you have to avoid in this playoff. Now, that's all we've seen the last two games from Texas, crooked numbers, and that is hard to overcome. One run, I'll argue, you tell a pitcher, give me one run for the first four innings, I feel like I'm in the game. Give me a four spot in the second inning, I feel like I've just let a great opportunity.
You know, it's kind of interesting because in the bottom of the fifth, one ends up happening. Granderson obviously walks. It's first and second. Teixeira grounds out into a force play at third base. That's where he pulls his hamstring, and then it works out perfectly for the Rangers, and that's where Rodriguez, you know, gets a, you know, hits into a double play. So, you know, I'm sitting there wondering, like, could it have been scripted any better for Ron Washington and the Rangers? And that just seems to be the way that it's going in the bulk of these games right now.
Well, it's gone that way after game one, but I guarantee you, if you check the heart rate of the manager in all of those situations, he ain't feeling too good.
Right.
Because when you've got A-Rod with first and second, you're worried about damage. And the one thing I can say, I mean, when you talk about pressing, it happens. I mean, A-Rod has been very aggressive with runners on the first couple pitches without letting somebody get into trouble. Now, it can work to his advantage if he were to get some hits that way, but it's hard to explain what goes through a reliever's mind in an opposing park when a great hitter is at the plate with the opportunity to do damage. It's difficult to pitch to that guy, and the only thing I can say is A-Rod hasn't let too many of those counts get deep. He's tried to really rush the pitcher early, and unfortunately has not gotten a lot of hits.
Yeah, because it worked in game one when he got up and he had the big single in that eighth inning comeback. You know, and listen, the Rangers, like, you're right, Johnny. The Rangers gave them so many chances to blow the game open before the Rangers did. And this Yankee team, it reminds a lot of us of the Yankee playoff team against Detroit a few years back and even against Cleveland a few years back, where for whatever reason, men in scoring position, chance to open up a game and give your pitcher a little break, and they ain't doing it.
Right, with the exception of Andy Pettitte. The concern, remember, yep, going into Minnesota was Yankees got some questions starting-wise. Now, they didn't have any questions when you talk about CeCe, but there hasn't been a starter that has gone deep and established. You know, they say your starting pitching is your next momentum. They just haven't done it. You know, Andy Pettitte was one pitch away from being perfect, and except for him, no one has really come out and set the tone. The Rangers have. They've scored runs early. And by the Rangers' own faults, meaning their mistakes back to the first series with Tampa Bay, they have learned how to deal with adversity as the series goes on. They only had to win one game at home. They didn't do it. They were forced to a game five, although be it Cliff Lee on the road. They've learned how to win on the road in a short time. They learned how to come back from a five-run implosion. Along the way, they've given the Yankees all these chances, but the growing confidence is evident as each game goes on.
We're talking to John Smoltz, and Johnny will be there with Ron Darling today for this afternoon's game. How about the top of the seventh now? Texas comes to bat. Joe Girardi, you know, finally takes A.J. Burnett out of the game. It's 5-3. Game's still, you know, within reach of the Yankees. David Robertson comes in for the New York Yankees. He goes in there. He strikes out Andrus, and he also gets Michael Young to line out. You got two outs, and now out comes Joe Girardi. He takes Robertson off the field. He brings in Boone Logan. Bang, home run by Josh Hamilton. And then he goes out and gets Chamberlain, and then all hell breaks loose. How about that decision?
Well, that's huge. I mean, Joe Girardi only has one guy to pitch to one guy. That's one left-hander. You look at the Texas Rangers, they got like four left-handers to pitch to one guy. I mean, that's the irony, because Cano is that one guy. And talking to Ron Washington, he added two left-handers for one guy, basically, because that's how good he feels Robinson Cano is. And it's a matchup situation where, you know, when he's warming up, that's the only guy he's going to face, too. You know, the game's gotten pretty specialized, and there's a lot of pressure when you come in to say, I only got one guy to face. You know, in that situation, if he walks him, it's probably better, and that's that hindsight. But the big home run by Hamilton just allowed the Rangers, again, to keep coming up with big extra base hit after big extra base hit. That is huge at this time of the – I've always said in the postseason, people ask me, what's the difference between a regular season and a postseason? Well, a hit batsman with two outs is a rally. A walk with two outs is a rally. And let me tell you the flip side. Texas gave the Yankees an opportunity to do the same thing. They walk the bases loaded.
Right.
That is so much bigger than giving up three straight hits, I can't even tell you.
John Smoltz, George, this last couple of things, Johnny, before I get to today's game. Blind eye, naked eye, did you think for a minute that Berkman's ball grazed the foul pole and right, or no?
I didn't see the grazing part as much as I thought it was foul. I looked at the umpires, and I could see right away the second the umpire closer to first was going out towards the umpire. You know, I'll never understand. I understand why there's an extra guy there, But you think about it. The umpire at home has the best view. He can see it the longest. I thought they got it right. What I like today, and that I didn't like a long time ago, they're encouraged to work together to get it right. Before, you had too many umpires saying, no, it's my call. I ain't asking anybody else.
Right.
And at this point, that's more important.
All right. Last thing from last night, and we'll get to a Sabathia today. Did you think Swisher got grazed with the bases loaded before he popped up?
Yeah, and he's got to sell it more.
That's what I was saying.
He's fallen down, but you got to sell it more. I mean, we saw the famous Tampa Bay, New York situation. We all got a chuckle out of it. It was part of the game. You just got to sell it more. And you know what? Again, just another opportunity to do damage, though. That would have been one run. That would have been nice. But he had a chance to do damage after he didn't get hit and he didn't sell it. To hit a double or hit a, you know, get things going again, and unfortunately popped up after.
Yeah, that would have been something because you would have had the walks and all of a sudden the hit batter, and then all of a sudden all hell's breaking loose from
the
Texas Rangers
at the plate.
That's exactly right, and you're trying to create momentum. But, you know, you're saying that he did get grazed as to where, you know, Derek Jeter didn't get hit and he sold it. So maybe Nick Swisher needs to go back and look at that.
Well, again, if you stand up, maybe if he could have stood up and gotten grazed, it would have been a little easier to hop around. He kind of fell down.
Before we let you go, John Smoltz, of course, TBS with Ernie Johnson and our pal Ron Darling. Sabathia today, I think we all believe, not to put words in your mouth, Johnny, that he will have a much better showing today and probably a dominant one with regular rest. You think this series goes back to Texas, or do you think the Yankees, especially with the Teixeira injury, are kind of dead man walking?
Well, one thing I can say, and we've always had this whenever you're facing defending champions, don't give them a reason. If you're the Texas Rangers, don't do anything at the plate. Don't do anything on the field. Don't do anything behind the mic to give this team a reason to want to continue to win. If you're CC Sabathia, I've pitched in a ton of elimination games, you're not losing, period. That's your mindset coming to the game. I'm not losing. I'm putting it on my next guy. And certainly – CeCe's going to pitch a much better game. In theory, that's what you feel. I know his side session, he had a long side session trying to work things out. There's nothing more frustrating at this time of the year trying to find a mechanical glitch or something that you want to improve on quickly. CeCe's that type of guy. I always felt that he's a guy, give him the ball as many times as you can, and it doesn't matter how many days of rest. He's a guy you want to keep running out there. He's a horse.
So you would have pitched. You would have pitched him yesterday, right?
Well, I thought it was a very gutsy move, and yes, I mean, personally, I would have pitched him yesterday and pitched AJ today. The scenario is in a position where, to the Yankees, that was a huge game. I mean, look, who would ever think, and I said it on the air, who would ever think that you hope to face Cliff Lee one more time?
You're
because then that means you're facing him in Game 7. But, you know, even if you look at today, I think AJ Burnett today, down 3-1, would be in a better situation of the unknown than being down 2-1 when he pitched. I thought it was a decision that makes managers stay up all night, and Joe did it, and he could have got away with it. He was one pitch away from possibly getting away from it.
Johnny, good job. We'll see you at 4 o'clock today on TBS. Thanks for the time, kiddo.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
John Smoltz, nice job.